How many of you brought your Bibles? Let me see your Bible. Just raise your Bible up. I want to always look and see the tablets and the phones and your Word. Because it's the Word, y'all remember, I know some of my ministry friends remember, it was televised on television, John Hagee's church, when that man somehow gets by those ushers, deacons. I don't know how he'd do that, because ours are like, I will shoot you dead, you know, and then raise you from the dead, you know, because that's what we do. We really feel like if we shoot you, we should raise you. And he came down to the front where, and this is televised, John Hagee was preaching. And he had a gun, and he said, I'm going to kill you, preacher. Now, all of you know that that's not the time to break and run, because you can't. Well, you know what he did? In front of, right at that time, there was about 4,000 people in his congregation. Now it's 10,000 plus. Bit large, it's one of the largest churches in San Antonio. And this man says, I'm going to kill you, preacher. And you know what that man of God did? He said, no, you're not. And he held up his Bible and he said, because this is my sword. This is my protection. And on national television, that man shot off everything in that gun. Bam, bam. I'll never forget it. And not one of those bullets hit that man. Why? Because this is our everything. I'm not talking about the book. I'll never forget going to a church in Blanco. They told me they had gone through, I believe it was 19 pastors in 2 years. And they said, we want you to come and minister. I said, you do? Do you know me? And I grabbed a cowboy Bible. Some of y'all, I've told this story. I grabbed a cowboy Bible. And I just got up there and I said, it's an honor to be here. And there's about 30 people's all. It's an honor to be here. I just want to minister the Word of God and how much I love you guys and appreciate you. But I understand. And I grabbed this cowboy Bible. I said, I understand that some of you just don't believe in forgiveness. You hold aught. You just decided that what they've done to you is unforgivable. I said, it's not a problem. Because what we'll do is we'll just take that part, the parts that talk about forgiveness, out of the Bible, and I ripped pages out and threw them on the floor. And the crowd goes, oh, I thought I was going to get run out right then. I almost thought they are ushering me out. I said, but wait a minute, because there's probably some in here that don't believe in healing. You believe that. Because someone said it one time that healing has gone away with the old covenant, and you just don't believe that God heals everyone, or hopefully it's God's will. Let it be thy will, sir. But if you don't believe in healing, it's not a big deal. We'll just take that part of it out of the Bible, and I ripped more pages out. I said, and I understand that there's probably people in here that don't believe in that tithing stuff. That money, you know, trying to get our hard-earned money. I said, it's not a problem, though, because we can take that part of it out of the Bible, and I just rip the pages out. And I understand that there's some people probably in this room that just don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you know that speaking in tongues stuff, Kawasaki, Hyundai, Mitsubishi? It's not a big deal, though. Why don't we just take all those scriptures that talk about the baptism, the book of Acts, why don't we just rip those pages out? And I threw them on the ground. And I understand that there's probably someone in here that's just going to stay in anger. No big deal. Because why don't we take all those scriptures about redemption and the love of God and let's just rip them out of the Bible. And at the end of it, all I had was the cover. You see, it doesn't matter what is the look of your word, if it's a telephone or if it's a whatever, if it's used up as we know in the ministry, a Bible that's torn apart is a life that's not. Doesn't really matter, but what's in this thing that you apply to one's life, man, will mean everything to you and to me. Say amen to that. So bring your Bible. Bring that word praise God, because if I overlook some things, you can actually read it for yourself and see what the Word of God says. With that said, I'm going to minister a message that obviously God gave me. Hopefully it was from Him. That I pray will minister in all kinds of ways into all of our lives. As all of you know, when I minister to me. And when I'm preaching to me, then I figure that if I need it, then all of us need it. Amen? Now, this morning, as in any morning when I preach, you have permission to talk back to me. I kind of like a little bit of agreement. That's right, brother. Amen? And because when there's some agreement, man, that's power. So if some things are said that you agree with, say amen. Say, that's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. And let's just see what God's going to do. In your Bible, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And as you get there, I want you to say amen so I know that everybody. Hebrews chapter 13. Who's still looking? Just say, oh me. Okay. Hebrews, towards the back of your Bible, you get to the Corinthians. You'll pass a few of the Gospels. You'll get to the T's. All the T's are together in the Bible. Timothy, Thessalonians, Titus. And then start slowing down because Hebrews will be coming up on you. I believe in today's world that we're in a world that is shifting and moving like we've never seen. And it's moving fast. It seems like everything is changing at a rapid pace. Technology, wow. I mean, it wasn't just a year or two ago when I had one of these Apple phones, and it was just the first one. Remember before that, the little bag phone, and you put the antenna on top? I'll never forget Sean McMullen, my best friend, a calf roper, made the finals and was killed. He was my best friend growing up. Man, he was one of the first ones in San Angelo to get a bag phone and put that antenna. I thought that's the coolest thing ever. I mean, that phone was so big, it was like a weapon. I mean, it would protect him. And then all of a sudden, there wasn't any more bags, and it was a lot different. And then here you got the iPhone. And now what are we up to, 11? 13. 11? Okay. You're way past in technology, man. She's already to 13, right? I mean, it's just like it's there's the 11. And how do you work the thing? And I mean, the cameras on those things are incredible. You don't even have to buy one of those big expensive cameras like we see here a lot of times. I mean, wow, the technology. I mean, think about it. Back when there was just that little Polaroid camera. Anybody know what I'm doing? All the kids are like, what the heck? Remember? Is anybody with me? I mean, oh, look at here, James. Woo-hoo. Oh, you don't remember that, do you? She's talking about her age right now, and she's a little younger than me. Let's be quiet in the church now. I'm talking things are changing at a fast, rapid pace, but think about it. Over 2,000 years ago, we were actually warned that these things would take place in the last of the last days. I believe, though, the shock that a lot of us are feeling, that so many people are feeling, is the abandoning of former positions of faith to embrace new ones. Oh, I'm seeing it. You can ask any minister. I'm seeing so many things in what one believed back then. They're not believing those same principles today for some reason. Well, we got to change with the times. And I'm not talking about trying to minister and connect to young people with, let's say, rock and roll. I don't mind that a bit. I mean, we need to connect to them. But if we have to change the way we have lived and believed and embraced the faith that we've stood on for years and years just to reach something or someone, something's wrong. Because you're going to find out today that our God does not change. Say amen to that. And he don't change for a lot of wonderful reasons. So let's just begin reading Hebrews chapter 13, and let's start in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, verse 2. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I'll never forget, and I've told this story a few times, but if you hadn't heard it, I was driving after a college Bible study in Odessa. We started, Jim Watkins, we started a Bible study at the college, and man, it was huge. And my heart, as y'all, most of y'all know, right, hopefully, is I want to see people saved. I want to see them born again, and then God brings in people that can help me in the other areas that, you know, mentorship and discipleship and those kind of things, teaching the Word of God and so on. And we just had probably 100 people there, and that particular night, unlike any other night, not one person gave their life to the Lord. And I just, you know, I don't know why it irritated me, because I just, Father, I want to just see people saved, and, you know, why not? And I'm driving to Midland, lived in Lubbock at the time, and as I was driving from Odessa, the shortcut to Midland, I was going to hang a left, and it goes to La Mesa, and there's an overpass right there. And as I was turning left, it was 10:30, 11 o'clock at night by this time. I pulled up to the light, and then there was a little old lady to my right. I thought, what in the world? And the light turned green, and I left. And the Lord says, what are you doing? Pick her up. So I stopped. No one was around, and I backed up. And the dad came out in me. I was only in my, you know, maybe upper 20s, lower 30s then. And I rolled down the window, and I said, what in the world are you doing out here at night? That's exactly how I said it. She was, I mean, she had rings on every finger. She was dressed very nicely. Her gray hair was nice. I mean, it was like, what is this precious someone's grandmama, someone's mama? What is she doing on the side of the road at 10:30 at night? I said, ma'am, you need a ride? She said, yes, I do. I said, well, get in. And boy, I just began, again, like the daddy was coming, what in the world are you doing out? She has this big old bag with her, big old purse. Well, I started thinking, you know, it's not good to pick up hitchhikers. What if she just robbed a bank and killed a few people? And I started looking at that bag, because there could be a machine gun in that bag. This is my mind going on. And I was watching that bag. Now, I'm thinking about this. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained an angel unaware. And she said this to me. She said, I knew you was going to pick me up. I said, well, why do you say that? She said, because I prayed that God would send a preacher to come pick me up. I said, how'd you know I was a preacher? She said, I prayed for you. Here I'm thinking, this might be an angel. Here I picked up. But here was the problem. I'm watching that bag, and all of a sudden she said, you mind stopping so I can smoke? I said, well, this is a smoking angel then. I said, no, ma'am, we're not going to smoke tonight. And I began to ask her questions, and she started telling me that her husband was beating her, and she was trying to get out of there and get to Lubbock. I said, well, I just happened to be going to Lubbock, but I kept watching that bag. And she grabbed it, and I said, put that bag down. I mean, I was fixing a karate chop her. Or how many of you remember Right Turn Clyde? Is anybody... Raise your hand if you remember Right Turn Clyde. That man, you youngins, man. So chimp. Anyway, I don't have time for that story. Come to find out, I took her to her destination. I gave her a Bible. I led her to the Lord. How many of you know you can still lead people to the Lord even though they prayed for God to help, send somebody to help? She gets to Lubbock. I dropped her off at a place, and I'd already talked to the guy. I'd already, you know, investigated a little bit, and come to find out that she wasn't an angel. But see, I treated her, not knowing her, not knowing if what the deal was in her life. Now, she didn't tell me the truth, because she got my number, and I found out later she called and said, I just have to apologize. But she was staying in an old folks' home, and they were being abusive to her. And she decided to start walking and getting away from that home, and they were looking for her. So I was the accomplice to her escape. But you know what? What ended up happening is she got back with her son, who she hadn't seen in some time and hadn't ever even come to visit her in this home. And she got restored, see. See, there's something about just treating people with respect. Because I realize life is changing fast. And if we stay in fear because of our understanding of child abductions and all the things that are going on, no, why don't you just continue to be led by the Spirit of God? Listen to me. Look at verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds or in prison as bond with them. And them which suffer adversity. Because I'm sure there's a lot of people in here that are going through some things. As being yourself also in the body. Marriage is an honorable thing in verse 4. It's honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But warmongers and adulterers God will judge. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. In other words, man, God's always going to be with you. And this is why I pray at the end of every single service that God's not staying in here, he's going with you, because he never leaves you and he never forsakes you. See. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Let's say that together. Ready? The Lord is my helper. Say it again. The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Verse 7. Remember them which have rule over you. In the Amplified, to help you understand, it just says, remember your leaders and superiors in authority. Well, in the church, that's a pastor, your pastor. You have to understand that authority is not control. Amen? Authority is just, God has placed us in a position to do as Ephesians chapter 4 says, to feed the flock, to, you know, cause you to get knowledge of the Son of God so that we can come in unity of the faith, so that you can be taught to do the work of the ministry and so on. Stay with me. These who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, underline that word follow, considering the end of their conversation. I looked up that word follow because it's talking about following someone, you see. But you better be careful who you follow. Because that word follow in the Greek literally means that we need to carefully model our faith after theirs, possibly. doing what they do, saying what they say, acting like they act. That's why you better pay attention of who you follow. Now, obviously, don't get religious. We're not saying you don't follow the Savior, but I want to hang out with people that speak the Word of God. I want to hang out people that I don't have to be concerned about talking behind my back about me. I don't even care if I've done some things wrong. I want to hang around people that will build me up and edify me and exhort me, praise God. I want to hang around people that don't get into the gossip and all the fears and doubts and unbeliefs. I want to hang around godly people that know that they're the head and not the tail. I want to be mentored by someone that can say, man, you are a man of God, son. You get yourself up and dust yourself off and start over again maybe, but you are a winner. You are someone in Christ Jesus because He loves you. You can do all things through Christ, which gives you strength. You are more than a conqueror through God because He loves you, man. I don't want to hang around someone that's always putting me down, right? So that's why He's using this word follow, saying what they say, acting the way they act. I can promise you, I act at my house. Ask Ricky, ask anybody that's ever been around me. I do not change just because I'm behind this pulpit at this church and act like someone else different at my home. No, I'm continuing to lay hands on a sick horse if I need to. I'm continuing to speak the Word of God to my family. Ask them. I'm constantly saying, did we pray? Did we pray? Oh, sorry, Dad. All right. You ate first. You got to pray. Oh, man. All the friends that come over, man. I was traveling. I was buddying. Me and my brother Tim was buddying with a couple of guys. Corey Koontz is the national finalist team roper, and a guy named Steve. I'll just say Steve. And it was just the way I am. I'm going to pray before the meal. And so I have this rule. If you eat first, you have to pray. Well, all those cowboys, they hadn't been churched much that I was hanging around with at the time. They knew I was a preacher. And they would grab their burrito and they would look at me. It was almost as if they were scared to take a bite. I don't know how to pray, you know. But the point is, you know, I want to be the same who I was, I want to just be the same. Let's just say it that way. I don't want to change. I know people try to change around me, though. I mean, I appreciate the respect for, you know, a minister, but really, I'm not the judge. Mm-mm. Don't make me the judge. I appreciate people that don't cuss around me, but you get around my rodeo friends, they know how to cuss. Ask some of my friends, right? They rodeo people, there's some of them, they know. Matter of fact, it's probably you. How many of you cuss in here? Raise your... Do I have to? I got to repent. Well, I mean, I appreciate them, but I always try to say... Tell people, no, you just be who you are around me. I am not the judge, but I know who He is. I know the ones that can change your life, praise God. So, when we're following someone, we're considering the great maturity and fruit produced by their lives. But here we go. Look at verse 8, though. You ready? Everybody knows probably where I'm going now. Verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why don't we say that together? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, say it with me, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. You need to get a hold of that because we're serving a Jesus that does not change. I looked up a few of these words real fast. The word same in the Greek literally means that Jesus Christ is unchangeable. When everything else in life is changing at lightning speed, Jesus is the only one person that we can depend on to be the same. Say amen to that. I don't have to worry if am I doing the right thing, Lord? No, you need to be the imitator. That's who we follow, right? Of Jesus. We need to act like him. We need to talk like him. We need to be like him, you see. I looked up, about this word same. We don't need to reconfigure who he is or what he thinks or what is his message, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's the same as it was 2,000 years ago. He's not changing. I looked up this word yesterday in the Greek. It literally depicts all time that ever was up until this present moment. Think about that. Yesterday depicts all time that ever was up until this present moment. In other words, it describes the past. That word today, because again, what does the word say? Jesus Christ, the same. That word same, we understand. Yesterday, then what? Today. I looked up the word today. Guess what it means? Today. Or at this very moment. Or this current age, the present. When you really study these two words, yesterday and today, it's really an Old Testament expression that denotes continuity, just continuing constantly, you see. So what we find is that Jesus isn't one way in the past and another way in the present. No, he's the same. I looked up this word forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and say it with me, forever. And obviously it means into all ages of the future. All future time to come, including all ages that will ever be known. That's future, man. You see. So I think we got to start digging deep into this Bible. And the things that worked yesterday are going to work today. When the Bible says that by his stripes we're healed, we can take that literally. That not hopefully we're going to be healed. Know that you're healed. Because of the beating he took, there's restoration in your life no matter what. If you would just dare to believe it. Why? Well, because we know the word says all things are possible to them that, say it, believe. That believe, right? All we need to do is be believers of this word. If Mark chapter 16 says lay hands on the sick, not saying you're sick, but why don't we just do what the word says, Father? If it's a sick knee or if it's a hurt shoulder or if you're having headaches, why wouldn't we say, hey, sister, amen. Why don't we start doing that to everybody, like in Walmart? All you just... That reminds me. Give me just a moment for a rabbit trail. We're doing this chair challenge yesterday. Anybody know what the chair challenge is? Let me see your hand if you know it. Well, I just want y'all to know it ain't totally true. The chair challenge is when you put your feet up against the wall, then you take one step together, put your head on the wall, pick up a chair, and then lift up. Oh, no. I did it one time, but I could not do it after that because it's the center of gravity. I mean, it's or mass or Well, for some reason, a lot of women can do it. You seen it? I mean, this old gal just come up here. What's hard about that? And then here's this big old man. This is easy because no woman going to beat me. And he can't do it. You should try it at home. You'll see. I mean, anyway, I think it's funny though, because you try it at home. Just up against it, take toe to heel, put them together, put your head on the wall, do a chair up to your chest, and see if you can stand up. So I want a report from every one of you next Sunday. Who can do it? And I don't know where that came from the message, but listen. We got to dig deep into the Word of God and not let anything throw us off. I kind of got there, didn't I? Did I? You know what you need to do? Go to the four Gospels. Right, Dennis? You go to the four Gospels and you find out who Jesus really is. And then imitate that, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you'll start seeing how he healed blind Bartimaeus. And if he healed blind Bartimaeus of his sight, then by golly, if he's no respecter of persons, he's got to heal your sight. If he healed the woman with the issue of blood, and he's no respecter of persons, no, it's just me believing by faith, then he has to heal you no matter what, praise God. You see, if you dig into the four Gospels, you'll find out that Jesus is the same forever. Amen. So here's a few things as I close up that I want you just to get into your spirit and begin to think about Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I wrote just a few things. Here's one of them. Unchanging love. I want to clap right there. Unchanging love. That means that he loves me no matter what. He loves me enough to send his son so that I can have life and more abundant life. Not going through one trial to the next trial to the next trial to the next tribulation to the next trial, next tribulation. No. I'm going to get on through, learn something in the middle of it so I don't have to go through it again. I don't understand why people think that you always got to go in the valleys to learn something. Why don't we just learn from the Word of God? So we don't have to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, I just want to learn from their fire experience. I don't want to have a house burned down so I can look up and learn something. I don't want to have to go through a whole bunch of junk in my life and lose everything so I can actually wake up. I mean, those things happen, but I want to read from the Word of God that says I'm a conqueror and I have a testimony because of what Jesus did for me, you see. He's the same, and His love is the same no matter what. So don't let the devil lie to you that he doesn't love you like Billy Graham. No, he loves you unconditionally because he's the same. Unending mercy, number two. Oh, man. Oh, he doesn't change. He has unending mercy. How many of y'all need mercy in your life like me? Father, I apologize. It's me again. Remember that old comedian? It's me again, Margaret. I did it again, sir. And then, you know what the Word says? His mercy is new every morning. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. How about number three? He is the firm foundation. See, if we stay on the rock, it doesn't change. We don't have to go to a shifting sand, because he don't ever change. We are to stay on his foundation. It does not change. It's still solid, strong, no matter what you go through. Number four, we have stabilizing victory and strength. We have stabilizing victory and strength. Why? Because Jesus doesn't change. I want to talk like him, act like him, speak like him, everything. I want to do like Jesus. And that's why the Bible, that's why Nehemiah said, hey, if you got joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength, you see. Number five, and there's only six, is we've already talked about it, but I can receive healing. Most of you know I was diagnosed years ago with Crohn's disease. And if you've been to this church very long, you understand that I didn't receive it. They took out 16 inches of intestine, a little bit of the colon. And when they took it out and the doctor said, hey, son, as I was waking up, you have a disease called Crohn's. And I'll never forget what he said. It's not curable, but it's manageable. I said, no, thank you. And he said it again. Son, did you hear me? You got a disease called Crohn's. We can medicate it. He told me I'd never be able to ride a horse again. Told me I'd have to alter and change my life if I wanted to survive. I said, no, sir, don't receive that. And they wheeled me to my room. He came back one time with my mom and dad there. He said, son, I don't know if you understood, but you have a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable. I had this tube down my throat at this point. He said, it's not curable, but we can manage it. You're going to have to take medicine for the rest of your life. I said, mm-mm. I looked at my mom and dad. Remember that? Mm-mm. That doctor never came back to my room, not one single time after that. I said, mm-mm. I don't know if he thought I was crazy. I never went to one doctor, ever. I never took one pill. You know why? Because I decided to not believe the fact that I had Crohn's. I decided to believe the truth that says by his stripes, a Jesus that does not change, I'm healed. And that truth overrode the fact, and I was healed by Jesus' stripe to the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen? I mean, thank you, Lord. So healing, it's for you. Jesus does not change. If he healed any of those and he does not show favoritism, he has to heal you if you would just believe it. And then finally, forgiveness. Oh, I am forgiven. Why don't you say that? I am forgiven. Maybe you did do a lot of things in your life that you've allowed the devil to convince you that you've just done too many bad things for God to love and accept. How wrong you are. Because he loves you just the way you are. He created you. He created me. Matter of fact, God's so awesome that when you say, God, forgive me, he grabs that sin and throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. Come on, y'all. I mean, don't you think that's a good God to serve? Yes. Yeah, but I've done too many bad things. No, that's the lie that you don't need to believe any longer. Now, why don't we start believing the Word of God? That by golly, if I did something wrong, I'm already forgiven. That doesn't give me a permission to sin, because the wages of it is death. I'm not going to just sin just because I know I'm forgiven. No, I want to imitate him. I want to be like Jesus. But I'm not going to listen to the devil that's trying to convince me that I'm not forgiven. Because I'm telling you, you are already forgiven by what Jesus did on that cross and being raised from the dead. Okay, so here's the deal. No matter what, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Get that into your spirit. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Get it in your, in that knower, man. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, say it with me. Jesus is the same yesterday, today. Say it again, y'all. Jesus is the same today. Now everybody say it loud. Jesus is the same. He's not changing. He's the same when? Yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. All in the future, all the ages of the future, our Jesus will never change. So why don't you just serve Him? Amen. Why don't you just keep serving Him? Amen. Come on, give God some praise. He's the same. And if we live that way, man, I'll tell you, we'll serve Him to our full potential. We'll start seeing victories in our life like we've never seen. We'll start being the head, not the tail. The above and not beneath. Amen? Because He's the same. So don't you change your beliefs. You believe this Bible no matter what. In Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for just a service of just edification. We just need to be built up. Father, thank You, Lord, that when I preach to me, I need it. So I just... hopefully other people need it. You're the same. You're not movable. You're the same. And we're going to believe what You did 2,000 years ago, it happens today. And it's because of our unbelief that we don't see more people healed in church or on the street. It's because of our unbelief and our doubting, our fears, that we don't see more people raised from the dead. Well, Father, today, all of us want to understand and declare that You're the same. So we receive this message by faith in Jesus' name. There's no one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you obviously understand that I'm not going to ever leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. Listen to me. It's, according to the big clock in the back, it's about 30 seconds from 12. Okay? So let's get that over with. We're going to be here about 2 or 3 more minutes. Y'all ready? We don't have a Furs cafeteria or a Luby's even close to us. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? If He's not, you need to meet Him. Oh, He's a wonderful Savior. He died for you. He didn't have to. He could have said, Father, it's too much pain. All that crucifixion that He went through, and they was beating Him and spitting on Him. All that was recorded in history. Obviously, it's recorded in that Bible. It was such pain. And then they nailed Him to that cross, just like they did thieves in that day. And He was doing it for us. I don't know about you, but I want to see people go to heaven and not a place called hell. I don't know about y'all, but it's hot up here. But think about hell. Ooh, Jesus. The Bible says you'll beg for a drop of water on your tongue forever and ever and ever. So today you have a choice. Would you please choose Jesus? I can't make you. I wish I could. Man, I wish I could make people receive the Lord, but I just can't. It has to be up to you. But if you'll invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life and invite Him into your life, you'll be saved. And you'll bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. Because see, I don't want you to go to a place called hell. And I'm telling you, you don't want to go there. But heaven, ooh, Jesus, that's a lot better. So today, if there's anybody watching, wherever you're watching, or you're here in this audience, that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do that today by praying a prayer with me. And as this church knows, I have all the believers in here pray this prayer as well, because we're just going to pray it with you if you've never given your life to Jesus. So you don't have to pray it alone. I came down the aisle at my church in Otis, New Mexico, to give my life to Jesus. I was scared. You don't have to do that. I love that. I'm not against it. But you can give your life to Jesus in a horse stall, in your seat right now, or watching wherever you're at across the country. So I'm going to pray. We're all going to pray it together. But if you're here and you don't know what would happen to you if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, I'm going to ask you to ask Jesus to come into your life right now. You ready? And we're just going to pray it. And all the believers, again, would you pray this with us? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. I believe that you, Jesus, have been raised from the dead. And I'm born again now, because Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, thank you for dying just for me, for forgiving me of all my sins. I pray this prayer knowing that I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth, to you the Father, in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, you just prayed it, you meant it. You did it for the first time. Jesus is now your Lord. When I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up and don't be afraid. Jesus was not ashamed to die for us. So we don't need to be ashamed to raise our hand and acknowledge that He's now our Lord. Jesus said if you'll do it, He'll confess you before the Father. So don't be ashamed. If Jesus just became your Lord and you prayed that prayer for the very first time and asked Jesus to come into your life, get that hand up when I say three. You ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Boy, right back there. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Glory be to God. You just gave your life to Jesus. You're not ashamed. If I didn't see your hand, I'm proud of you. Very proud. Very proud of you, Sue. If you didn't raise your hand, just raise it up. Let me see it. They'll give you a Bible and just put it right back down. Is there anybody else? If you're watching, y'all look at me. Those that are watching, if you just gave your life to Jesus, there's a way that you can message us. Just let us know. Let us know that you appreciate watching this. I mean, it always makes us feel good that people actually watch us when we video this. Amen. And so, thank you so much. Thank y'all for coming. Did you have a good time? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, just real fast. Thanks, Howdy. Today, if y'all don't mind when we say amen, they want to mop this whole floor. I appreciate Daryl. Daryl, would you just stand up and let them just say hi to you? I want y'all to know. Come on, give him a hand. Thank you, brother. That's not who you go to and gripe at. I don't want to ever hear that. He mops his whole floor with a mop by himself. So he asks us if we don't mind to pick the chairs up, and we're going to put them up so that he can mop these floors, and really appreciate that. Gives you good upper chest muscles, doesn't it, arm? In the back, I don't know if y'all know it, but we're a church that believes in every single Christian voting in our elections. That's our democratic right. So you'll be surprised, as they told us last Tuesday night, that there are millions of Christians that don't vote. Well, I'm here to tell you, we need to vote. We need to vote. They're trying to make this country a socialist country, and we're going to fight it. We are not. Hard work will pay off. Ask any rodeo person. The more you practice and work, and I'm 50 years old, I'm still tying steers left-handed and right-handed almost every day. Why? Because I'm working hard to make the steer open finals. I'm tired of being 18th. Amen? I'm 15th right now. I want to be up there at the top. It takes hard work. Well, that's how our country is supposed to operate. We work for it. It's not a handout. No, you work for it. And so there's registration cards in the back that Mike has, and I want you to go and register if you have not registered. You know what? In all these years, I've never been called to go and be a juror. Maybe some of y'all have, but don't be afraid of that just because you're filling out that card that you'll have to go and be a juror in a murder trial. No, I better not say that. Never mind, I was going to do a joke, but it's... don't forget about Bible study on Tuesday night. Jamie and I teach a class 40s and under. We need you there. Man, start being a part of that class. If I don't teach it, Howdy's going to start teaching it. And then all my great folks that are above 40, man, you want to talk about excited about Jesus. They have an incredible Bible study. That's at Tuesday at 6:30. Amen? We're going to be doing a lot of things different. So get ready. We're going to start doing some announcements that it's going to be a little neater. And we're going to have some people, actually. You're going to be watching people do some announcements. We'll let you know about some of that kind of stuff. But thank you for coming this morning. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Listen to me. If you have any needs, anything, you want prayer, whatever it is, don't leave without making sure every need is met, because that's what Jesus said. He meets every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful service. And Father, as we always pray, you don't stay here. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You get to go with us. So, Father, as we go on about our week, we want to understand that you're the same. We're going to continue to live. We're not going to change up our faith, our belief system. No, we're going to continue to believe that Bible from Revelations back to Genesis. Father, thank you. Thank you for the ones that gave their lives to you. God, thank you for that. And now just grow them up now, sir. All the visitors that came, it was an honor that you came. So, Father, bless them. If they don't have a church home, I just pray that maybe this could be it. And if not, that they would find a good Bible-believing church where they live. I know people drive a long ways to come here, but thank you, sir. We love you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You're dismissed with a big round of applause. Love you.